everybody. Welcome back to East Texas A&M. It's time for another episode of Inside Lion Athletics. Soccer starts out because they got to go first. But Ashley Gordon, y'all had a weekend off and you kind of got to really enjoy it because you won earlier in the week and started out. You didn't win. It was a tie. It wasn't a loss.
No, it was not a loss.
0-1 is way better than
0-1-0. No, we're undefeated. No, we walked into Lamar. As I said last week, we were really, really prepared. Thought our team got after him from the very beginning, and you know, I thought that we were competing, which is always nice. Went into half again scoreless at half, and within 10 minutes there were four goals scored. So we went down 2-0, and then we had Alana Lawless for Larca, which I love saying her name, by the way, responded quickly within 2 minutes. She put us back on the board.
How quick did the ball get to the other end of the field where she could do her thing?
Well, we kicked off. It was fairly quick. It was fairly quick. But we had we've been on the other side of this where we've given up a lot of set pieces. And, you know, for once, we had two set pieces that actually led to a goal where we, very first one, we put right on top of the goalkeeper. And goalkeeper was kind of caught in no man's land. And Alana made a near post run. And just through the trajectory of the ball, she scored a first class goal, header flick. It was awesome. It was awesome. And then, you know, right away, we got another set piece that a ball was dumped into the box, and there was a bit of some chaos. Alana called a player off the ball and hit a great left-footed shot and, responded just like that with 2-2.
Nothing like it. And then held on. It's tough to win on the road. Even in the Southland Conference, it's really tough to win on the road.
It's always tough to win on the road, so we'll take points any way that we can. But, you know, I walk out of that with knowing that we competed hard. I thought we had some really good performances from some players. I've already mentioned, you know, Alana has been a steady rock within this team. You know, her partner in crime, Chris Schultz, playing side by side. Both of them have been playing both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah Bell was playing as a midfielder against Lamar and then also played up top. She led the team in shots in the Lamar game. And then we had two players that came back that were subbed in but have come back into the lineup due to injuries.
Mm-hmm.
That had good performances coming in off the bench, and that was Trinity Edgerton and May Ring. But our fifth year starting center back, Peyton Jost, you know, was a former Lamar player.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that she had nerves in the beginning, but, you know, she really settled in, and I thought that she was outstanding in the game.
Coach, you were talking, tugging on my sleeve, telling me about Judith Nandwa. Tell us what she did. This was her debut?
Debut as far as conference play. Judith is from Kenya, and due to some complications at the embassy, we finally got her here. And so she's been in practice for 2 weeks. And, again, finding her footing and finding, you know, chemistry within the team. But had her first start, actually, against Lamar. And we're super, you know, happy to have her. She's mm-hmm. she's a young one. She's 17. And obviously traveling.
Oh, just a kid.
Just a kid. You know, traveling across seas, but, you know, brings a lot of experience. And so, you know, prior to this, she's been in World Cup qualifying with the under-17 national team for Kenya as a starting left back. So she's a lefty. She could play anywhere on the left side, obviously left back, left mid, left wing. And so, you know, actually right before getting to campus, she was called into the U-20s for the national team. So, you know, again, a player that's got experience, you know, at that level, which is awesome.
Yeah, great deal of talent. And that's a pretty nice get, Coach.
It is.
How long have y'all been working to try and to get her here?
Yeah, she committed. She committed to us actually back in May. But, you know, with, like I said, going through obtaining visas and appointments at the U.S. Embassy, she was supposed to have an appointment at the beginning of July. That mm-hmm. got pushed back, and then it got pushed back again. And then we were, basically the family was able to expedite things and, you know, get here just, you know, a week after school started, but before the census date. So anyway, but like I said, she's just adapting and pretty quiet, but, you know, eventually we'll have to get her on and so you can interview her.
Well, we'll do that. We've got the rest of the season to go, Coach.
We do.
Hey, tell us a little bit about how what you thought about the other turnouts over the weekend. You had the luxury of
Yeah,
some
of the Southland Conference teams obviously had a two-game fixture, but you know, with McNeese they only played a single game. So now we're walking into McNeese. This is our second game. You know, they lost to Stephen F. Austin in their home opener, but kind of a weird. They were down 3-0 at half. Some of the goals were by set pieces, and so but really the shot count and the statistics were pretty even.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, you know, even with the stats being even, the score isn't really reflective of maybe the game. So we've got to be up. You know, we've got to travel. We've got to get there. We've got to make sure that we start off from the minute of kickoff and get after the team. And let's hope we can get more points on the road. But that's the expectation. So that's what we're looking to do.
All right. What's McNeese built like this year?
Yeah, a lot of returners that just, you know, they've had a coaching change that happened here in the summer. And so I think sometimes like anything, even with a new coach, you might find a new style of play.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and they looking at their non-conference schedule, they played a pretty tough schedule, you know, across the board. And, you know, at the end of the day, We got to show up and we got to get points on the road, and we're ready to win.
All right, Coach, man, it's going to be a quick trip down there, yeah. But and we're going to let you get ready because we've got Atlanta coming up next.
Yes.
Our second Lone Star Conference Offensive Player of the Week in soccer.
Yes. Well deserved, and like I said before, she's been playing awesome, and so it's well deserved. And certainly, you know, getting two goals on the road was difficult. You know, I think one of the great things about Alana, of course, you can ask her. I've known her for a very long time. She played for me for FC Dallas prior to getting here. She took a knock with an ACL prior to her freshman year, and so she was sidelined her freshman year with a red shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, last year came in to camp strong, had an early injury in game two, I believe it was. So it was sideline a little bit, and so it took her a little bit. But you know, going into this year, she had a great preseason, and she's been playing really well, and you know, well deserved in regards to accolades within the Southland.
So, all right, well,
it's awesome.
Hey, stick around because she's up next. Keep it right here on Inside Lion Athletics. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Some more Inside Lion Athletics. We're starting out with soccer this morning because they got to go first. Joining me now is Alana Lawless Falarca. And I ought to know this name by now because you've already told me that we're practically family. Because your mom is a great friend with one of my nieces.
Yes.
It's a small world. Who knew? Hey, kind of had fun now at Lamar, didn't you?
I did. It was a good fun night.
It swings real quick sometimes. You find yourselves down 1-0, you're like, oh, we're going to get that. And then 2 down, and you start thinking. And then you come along, and boom, boom, equal. And that's how it ended up. Talk about that game.
It was really exciting. I would say, especially the first half, was a battle.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of back and forth. And in the second half, Lamar did have a quick turnaround and scored 2 goals. But I felt like it was important to keep a good attitude and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got 2 in.
So describe your first goal, and that was the one off the noggin, right?
Yes. The first goal was a set piece.
Mm-hmm.
Malay Ring had kicked it in. I was able to get on the end of it and flick it with my head.
How was the traffic in there? Were you kind of fighting for a position? Or
this one, I would say, wasn't too bad. I think a lot of the bunched up people were behind me,
mm-hmm.
and so I just flicked it over them. And
you went over the pile or over a number of other players and into where the goalie was not.
Yes,
that's the way you score. Talk about the next one. How quick was that turnaround? It was a couple of minutes, 5 minutes.
It was within 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
That was another set piece. May kicked in. Mm-hmm. It got bounced around. And then I saw an opening. I had called Judith off the ball, and I shot it with my left. So,
boom.
Back post.
Oh, shucks. And that goalie was sad.
Yes.
Well, and yours was jumping up and down at the other end of the field, I'm sure. Games like that, you know, you start out against one of the key opponents that you're, you know, going to be battling for the title with. But you know, tie them at home or tie them on the road at their place, that's not bad.
It's not bad. I'm content with the outcome. You know, everyone wishes for a win, but I think it was impressive being able to play at their home field and put up a battle.
What was it like having the weekend off that you could actually watch other teams or just at least keep up with what they're doing a little more easily?
It was nice because I get to watch our opponents, see how they play,
mm-hmm.
and rest my legs, but a part of me didn't want to play.
Yeah. All right, okay. So tell us a little bit about the award. When somebody gets selected, first off, you had to wait for all the other games to be played. Did that make you nervous?
Yes, it was a bit of a wait, and it was on my mind over the weekend, but mm-hmm. I wasn't too concerned about it. You know, I was happy with how we all played, so.
That came out, what, Monday morning?
Tuesday morning.
Did you get, like, a phone call or a text message, or how did they do that?
I got an Instagram notification.
An Instagram.
Yes.
That's a Grammy to wake up to, isn't it? Did it have your picture, or was it just a statement, or?
It was my picture and said that I was Offensive Player of the Week.
Wow. So y'all are stacking those up in the clubhouse. That's two of them now. Or was it Goalie of the Week, Coach? Two of them in the forward. Good stuff. So what do you think about McNeese?
I'm looking forward to it. I think just with any team, we need to take everyone seriously.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have a strong start, and I feel like we'll be okay.
Okay. How do you watch film? I mean, when you're studying your next opponent, what kind of things are you looking for?
I think specifically, first off, I look at their midfield because that's where I play.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see, like, how they're moving offensively and defensively. And then I try to see, like, their key players. So mm-hmm. if I find someone that's strong, then maybe I speak to my teammates and say, hey, you need to watch out for this person
mm-hmm.
or, like, their style of play.
Are you taking note of, you know, footwork or, you know, just kind of how they can weave their way upfield?
Occasionally, if there is someone that is more technical, then I know that I have to defend differently.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes how they shift and the runs that they make will also be different.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to make sure I communicate with my other midfielder, Kristen Schultz, about where we need to move and who to mark.
You know, you always hear about guys chattering in the infield at a baseball game. Softball does the same thing. Are y'all out there talking the whole game?
Yes, the whole game.
Communication's key.
If we're not communicating, then we're struggling. But I think as long as we communicate, we play well.
All right. Well, good luck. Go get them and knock out those cowgirls. Y'all get to play in the hole down there, right? Or do they have their own soccer pitch? They have their own. Well, good. You won't have to climb out of it because it's a walk. All right. We're going to line up here. And, folks, thanks a lot. We're going to send off Alana and all the rest of the Lion women here. They're on their way to take on McNeese. Coach, you're in the background. That game is tomorrow night, 6 p.m. from Lake Charles. You can watch it. Just go to lionathletics.com. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Some more Inside Lion Athletics. Hey, we let him take a week off, but we dragged him back in. Jim Curry, athletic director for East Texas A&M. And, Coach, all week it's football.
It's football all week for
sure.
Home opener. And that has been a central focus of our team for the last couple weeks as we've, you know, had, a lighter home schedule. But, but I'd be remiss. We may be our first home football weekend, but we have got a ton of home action this week as well going on, particularly with volleyball. And at the same time, too, a lot of activation on Saturday that I'm sure we'll get into. Some pretty exciting stuff going on there.
All right. Yeah. Well, what did you do last week while you weren't, like, visiting with us? Anything worthy of your report?
No, I would say just really a lot of prep for this weekend.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of work that's gone into it. In fact, it's one of those where we were kind of debriefing in a meeting earlier this week, and I said, you know, man, there's so many things that we have done that, honestly, we haven't done probably a good enough job communicating to folks. So we'll get some more communications out this week. A number of things have changed, obviously. The seating map, the way that we're approaching tailgating and parking, And so we feel really good that it's going to get a great outcome, but it's different. It's a change. And so, you know, again, I don't think we can over communicate on this, and we probably haven't done that yet. So we're going to make that an effort here the rest of the week. But all that to say, I mean, part of this too is getting ready for what we had going with three home volleyball matches this week, with the exciting Monday match. Yeah. And that was a heck of a match. And then Thursday, and then again on Saturday when we've got football here. So so I'd say that was pretty much the bulk of the week, is really kind of locking in and trying to make sure we've got everything buttoned up before this Saturday. Because, you know, when we get that, what do we got? We got nine left, and five of them are at home. So, you know, we're on the road for a while.
It finally feels like the numbers are rolling our way.
There we go. Exactly right. So excited to get it going again in Memorial Stadium. Should be a beautiful weekend. I don't want to jinx it for anybody, but we know that at least right now the forecast is really good. Highs in the upper 70s at kickoff, low humidity.
Golly.
I would say perfect weather for football.
Hey, Brock and I'll work on the roof if you need us to.
There we go.
On a day like that.
On a day like that,
we'll go outside.
That's right.
A little umbrella, we'll be fine.
Sure.
So it's the home opener at last. Jim, there's so much to share with people about what they're going to get coming to the game besides football.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a busy weekend, and so we kind of touched on it a little bit. But, you know, football, 6 o'clock, tailgating starts at 1. All right. That's that we know that piece.
Which is at the same time as the volleyball match against Incarnate Word.
Bingo.
Right over in the field house.
Right here in the field house, Incarnate Word. Really good opponent. Our Incarnate Word has done a lot to upgrade what they're doing in the volleyball space. So should be a really quality opponent coming in here to the field house. If you're here early and you want to, you know, get inside and watch a little bit of volleyball, you know, we'd love to have you in
there.
Check
out the new ribbon boards and the big screens inside. It's an opportunity.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I guess I kind of lost sight of that, that this is kind of the introduction of the new boards in the field house. We've been using them, obviously, on the home matches we did have earlier in the year, but fully activated, changes the whole experience in there. There's dance cams now and headshots of people serving, and so it's a whole different feel and vibe in there. You know, actually, we got some feedback during the Abilene game on Monday from folks who were watching on the digital broadcast about how much different it looks in there. I mean, it is different for sure. So excited about that, but it's certainly created a better fan environment for sure. But yeah, volleyball at 1. We're actually got a couple other things going on. We're welcoming a number of folks back. We're going to welcome back our JV Sykes Award winners in football.
Oh, very cool.
That's a really tight knit group. That's kind of your annual scholar athlete in football of the year award. So kind of for them, I would say kind of tantamount to their Heisman of the year, and not just from an athletics perspective, but from a leadership and academics perspective. That group has stayed really well connected, and I think in large part due to the assist from Blake Cooper. He's done a great job of keeping that group connected, and so we're going to welcome them back, have a reunion event with that group, and then also a recognition on the field. In addition to that, we have soccer alums back celebrating 30 years of soccer. So we're really excited about that. We actually have a former soccer student athlete going in the Hall of Fame in a few weeks, but excited to get that group back. They laid a tremendous foundation for where we are today, so we're excited to get them back. I would say for the first time in a while. They'll also be recognized at soccer on Sunday, also against UIW. And then in addition to that, kind of separate but adjacent to athletics, a new alumni center dedication. So there was a renovation to the Sam McCord the McCord family alumni center, so they're going to unveil that this weekend. So that's a really exciting event. It's also family weekend here on campus, so we've got a number of families that are already planning to come to the game. We've seen the ticket meter running there, so excited about that. It's also Bodark Bash weekend in Commerce, so Friday, Saturday for that. And so needless to say, not short on things to do in Commerce this weekend, but that comes on the heels of home volleyball Monday, home volleyball Thursday, home soccer Sunday.
Wow.
So we might have taken a couple weeks off from some home action, I would say, in large volume, but we're making up for it for sure.
Yeah. Hey, and 1 o'clock is a good number to help you remember, because that's when the volleyball kicks off on Saturday, and that's also the start time Sunday for the soccer match with
UIW.
Right.
That's exactly so, right.
And we got another offensive player of the week.
In soccer,
In soccer.
Yeah, talk about a gutsy performance there. Actually, you know, some really gutty performances in volleyball and soccer this last week.
Hey, anytime that our volleyball, anytime any team beats Abilene Christian,
it's a good thing.
It's kind of like one of those old Lone Star Conference rivalries that just won't die.
Yeah.
It's like Tarleton, it's the same thing. You know, if we ever play them, we sure want to beat them.
100%. Well, it's funny you say that because I was talking to a former volleyball student who's now in grad school here, and she even said the same thing. She was like, you know, Abilene Christian, it's kind of – she said it's – I don't know if it's an unspoken or spoken rivalry, but it's something that's a rivalry.
It's a real thing.
At least for volleyball, for sure. So, and I think that extends beyond volleyball as well. Same thing true for Tarleton, I would say. It's maybe a similar feel with SFA. So, you know, kind of going D1 now and reconnecting with some of these folks that were competitors back in the Lone Star days and things like that. It resonates.
I understand that Tarleton has completed its big new basket. They're out of Wisdom Gym. And they're playing in a big arena-type facility.
Yep.
And, like, they got to have a warm-up game before, you know, they really start the season.
Yep.
And I think there might be some Lions in Stephenville for that.
There could be some Lions in Stephenville later in October as part of an exhibition game.
While they check the switches, see if everything works.
That's exactly right. Now, we won't be the first one in there. They're going to get TCU in there first.
Purple.
Yep. Purple
had to
and purple.
Had to be purple.
Right? Purple and purple. But – yeah, we'll have an exhibition game out there in late October in their venue. And then really what will happen with that is they'll end up returning it to us. And actually that game could potentially happen in our new venue, just depending on timing. That's exciting stuff.
Gosh.
I mean, it's hard to think, but basketball is a month away. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what
I pointed
happening.
That out to my wife.
It's a month away,
and she changed my schedule too. But that's
there you
hard.
Go. Well, and then you get again. Then you get into November, and we know what November looks like, and it's even more now. You know, you got soccer tournament, cross country will compete in the NCAA regionals. We know that's going to happen, and then you know who knows what happens in terms of just potential other postseason opportunities. In NCAA. If we can get a run going down in Beaumont, and then, we've got conference basketball games are in November this year, believe it or not, nothing at home but on the road. And then late end of the year with football, because we'll go right up till the 22nd, for at least for the regular season, or 21st for the regular season matchup at the end. It is all coming to a head. And then we're hosting volleyball tournament here for the Southland Conference. So –
won't that be a cool thing?
Incredible. So, but again, we talked about just a really gutsy performance out of soccer, getting down 2-0 on the road, quality opponent. Would have kind of been easy to fold it in.
2-0's a lot in soccer.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, especially when it's in the second half.
No question. I mean, you're 60 minutes in at that point, but then staying on it. A little sense of urgency. I think you could really. I was watching it online, but. You could really kind of feel the sense of urgency in the game, and it translated for sure. That's a quality point that we got on the road with that tie. That's going to help us down the road.
Yes.
There's no doubt in terms of getting that outcome. So that's good. And then we'll be on the road again tomorrow at McNeese and then home for two. So some good opportunities coming up for us there. But, you know, we talked about it a little bit before the game on Saturday with football, that win that that volleyball got against Lindenwood. I don't know if people realize how good of a win that really was. Lindenwood had won the regular season and tournament last year in the OVC.
Yeah, they were like 20-game winners for like 2 or 3 years in the last four.
Oh, yeah. That's one of our cohorts.
Yeah.
Yeah, reclass peers as well. So just getting that victory. And, again, you know, they obviously got off to they were 0-8. I mean, let's just call it, right? They were 0-8. And when you look at who those eight were, they were really, really good eight. The night before they took a set off of Iowa and then had it tied at 21 in the fourth. You know, I mean, they were in that ball game. They played Notre Dame a couple days before that. It went three, but it was a tight three. They're at Colorado State as part of that tournament. Take a set off Colorado State, who's historically very good. Took a set off Washington State. So, I mean, the quality of the competition that they played was exceptionally good. And, again, credit to them and Joe for staying in a good headspace, staying positive, and building off of the positives that were occurring because it translated against Lindenwood. Again, quality opponent, quality win, and then it showed up again on Monday against Abilene here. And honestly, like, great crowd for a Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
It went five, so we started to lose some people late just because it got later in the day or later in the night. But, I mean, great crowd, great energy. One of the more exciting volleyball matches you're going to watch ever. I don't care who your opponent is or who you're rooting for. And so, again, like, just showing a little bit of that grittiness and that toughness to kind of push through. That match went on a roller coaster. And so, again, like, you know, part of it, too, is learning how to win a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to come through some adversity. I know that's what we're trying to do in football right now, obviously. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of positives. There's some momentum that you can see or some things that we're doing better there as well. But now putting it all together, you know, putting a game together, there's going to be some bumps in the game that happen. Mm-hmm. How do you respond to those? And then, you know, how do we try to finish it out? You know, and that's what volleyball was able to do this weekend. And, again, we'll continue to push for that in our other sports as well.
Well, I understand, Jim, that y'all have gone all out within the last year to make a home game at Memorial a little bit more daunting noise-wise.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you said that because Friday. Okay,
cause
yeah.
I've been told that somebody can pull a lanyard and ring a bell so loud they can hear it anywhere in Hunt County.
So glad you brought that up because I mentioned everything going on Saturday.
Yeah.
I mentioned everything going on the home schedule with volleyball, soccer. But there's actually a really big event happening on Friday night.
Pep rally.
So we have a pep rally going on. This is an extension of a pep rally we did last week. So we talked about what we were doing in the off week.
Mm-hmm.
We were getting ready for football and getting our students ready for football. So credit to Aiden and Josiah and Avi and the whole external team, Jack and Dan, I mean, the whole crew. They've put a lot of energy into game day. They put a lot of energy into students in particular, and through great partnership with Office of Student Engagement across campus, have put a lot of energy into trying to find ways to improve what we're doing on game day, not just for all fans, but students in particular. I think you'll see some elements of that on Saturday as well. But one of the things that is getting unveiled at the Friday pep rally is what has been affectionately called the Beast. It is the refreshed victory bell. So we brought back the tradition a year ago. We kind of had the placeholder bell,
right?
That we had at the games last year. And in the meantime, again, credit to Traditions Council and Student Engagement for taking a lead role in this. But they spent basically the whole last year getting, I would say, an appropriately sized bell for what we're trying to do with this to replicate maybe the impact of the victory bell. Put it on this massive cart. It's got, like, it doesn't have wheels. It has tires. Like, I mean, this thing is massive. So we at one point were talking about whether or not we wanted to mic this thing up. We felt like we maybe didn't need to because it rings so loud. So we're excited to unveil this on Friday. You will see it on Saturday at the game. And so, again, trying to just continue to lean into and embrace the very rich tradition we have here and get a kind of just a refreshed approach to that. So the like I said, the victory bell, and I think in its, like, intended form when we brought the tradition back, will make its unveiling on Saturday after we see it for the first time at our student pep rally on Friday night. We hope to be ringing that thing a lot. Let's put it
yes,
that way.
Yes, indeed. So what do the Lions have to do to ring the bell?
So kind of back to that, the tradition itself. So it rings for every point scored after a score.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also will ring after the game after a win for the number of points that were scored in aggregate as well. So you hear it in-game after a score corresponding with the number of points, and then – post-game corresponding with the number of points scored after a win.
Okay. Let's see. They have a...
Oh, in addition to that, I'm glad you said that. So in addition to that, we talked about enhancing the game day experience and tying this back in with the victory bell unveiling.
Mm-hmm.
We will also be giving away 1,000 mini cowbells as part of the game. So we are trying to create some noise and some energy in this stadium on Saturday. So come out. Bring your bell. If you need a bell, we got you covered.
We've got more cowbell.
We got it coming. So we are going to create some noise in there for sure. We've also now actually have a I would say a professional DJ in venue that will be helping us with music. We've done a lot in terms of just some kind of things you won't see, but just new headsets to communicate in-game with band and try to avoid times where we have lapses in play or lapses in sound or music or playing over each other. So these are kind of some of these like things you see kind of behind the scenes that we've done and put some resources into to try to improve what we do on a game day execution. The amount of meetings that have occurred between band and spirit and so cheer and dance, student engagement, athletics over the last, 9 months has been pretty extensive in an effort to try to create a more dynamic game day experience. So we're excited to kind of see what it looks like. We sure there'll be something we need to tweak or adjust from there, but certainly the focus, the energy, and the emphasis there on trying to improve what we do in the stadium has certainly been front of mind.
All right, yeah. Man. Busy time off.
Yeah, no,
that's what it sounds
there's
like.
There's so many things going on. I actually forgot about a couple of them. but hey, that's a good thing, though. It's a good thing.
All right, give one. Cowbells.
Hey, I'm telling you, bring them, ring them. Let's go. Let's make some noise in there. We know that we can create a great dynamic experience in there. And what we also know, too, from just what we've seen in Memorial Stadium, but other venues as well, is that when we bring the noise, when we bring the energy, when we have people there, it helps create opportunities for us to win on the field and
it's
on the court.
It's a lot of fun when everybody's in on it.
There's no doubt about it.
All right. Jim, you got to go back to work.
Let's get back to work.
All right.
All right.
We'll line up. We've got a little more to go. Football and volleyball coming up next on Inside Lion Athletics. Hey, everybody, welcome back. We're not done with Inside Lion Athletics yet. Got head coach Clint Dalzell. Tough game down in Grambling Saturday, coach, but the sun rose, and we got another one coming up Saturday against North Carolina Central at home.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
That's nice.
It's not just a place to practice.
It is nice to be home, without a doubt. Just the hassle and the hustle and the, all the stuff on the road and getting everything right, but yeah, be nice to get in front of a good home crowd cheering for us and, good football team coming into town in North Carolina Central. They're a very, very tough football team, so we're excited for the opportunity.
One of the top-ranked HBCUs, I think I saw them number four amongst those, 80-some-odd schools,
right.
HBCUs.
Yeah, they're there year in, year out. They're always a good program.
Usually MEAC champs, they're right there in the fight. So, somebody that we'd like to emulate win our conference every year.
They've got it going. That's definitely something to look into. They do it right. They get a good head coach. They get good players. They're well coached.
Coach, I know that it's looking forward to get ready for them, but y'all had to go through the film on Grambling and see what needed to be cleaned up. What do you think?
A lot needed to be cleaned up, but there was a lot of good things in there too. Mm-hmm. I felt like, and I said it in the locker room afterwards, that I felt like we lost all three phases. And when you look back at it, it was just one or two plays in those three phases, mm-hmm. but they were huge, obviously the special team snap over the head and, they get the ball at the 1 yard line going in. Man, we make a great goal line. They have to score on fourth down, and it wasn't easy on fourth down either. So, offensively, we have the one turnover right before the half. Second guessing myself there, obviously, of going in at halftime, but they were using their timeouts to try to get the ball back too, and tip ball for a pick, and then defensively, first half played great, unbelievable, with exception of right there before the half giving up the score of on a short field.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's one of those things at the end, we've got to find a way to get stops and we've got to find a way to get some points, late in games. And, I think we're a well-conditioned team, but I think our starters on defense just had played too many downs and, got a little worn out towards the end.
Well, the tempo of that game was kind of interesting. The first quarter, both teams couldn't get anything past the other one.
Right.
Not much. Second quarter, that's when things started to happen. And probably, I thought, three or four of the best drives of the game that we had in there. What did you think?
Yeah, again, I thought both teams offensively got a few first downs, but the defense stiffened their neck and, having to punt. And those first downs were field position downs. Mm-hmm. You know, each team had to start the ball at their own 25.
Right.
Yeah, we were getting a few first downs, but then you were pinning that team deep. So, again, there was some offense in there, mm-hmm. good enough to pin them deep to, you know, help our defenses, you know, on both sides of the ball. And then, again, like you said, we got a couple drives going offensively, went in a little bit more of a spread out offense and got some things going. Our tempo was our best thing. You know, that's what got going, I think, mm-hmm. for us offensively. And, you know, we got a couple scores right there before half, and I think it was just because we sped up our tempo.
Okay. Second half of the game, gosh, it went back and forth a little bit.
It did. You know, they figured out some stuff, made some adjustments on their offensive side, and, got some late scores and just made some plays. You know, we needed to make some plays. We had opportunities to make some plays. We weren't making them, and they made them. You know, and that's the difference in a ball game, you know, when, you know, we do – drive down and get a chance for a field goal. It's 52 yards. Yeah, and that's a long ways, no doubt about it. Oslo's got pure, you know, definitely enough left.
He had, and he's got
plenty of distance and just a little wide mark, and it wasn't far off. So, you know, I wish it had gone to overtime and see what happened there, but, you know, we shouldn't have put it there. You know, that's on us, and, you know, we'll learn from it. And, you know, again, we've got to put in the back of our heads because, again, we got a good football team coming in this weekend.
All right. Do you feel like as a coach working with special teams and your kicker – I mean, kickers are kickers.
They're kickers.
They're different than everybody else on the team.
Yeah.
How's Oslo? I mean,
he's good. I mean, he told me – you know, he talked to me after – when I told him we lost all three phases, I think he took it to heart that I was talking to him. And I wasn't.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It fits 52 yards. I mean, that's
– yeah.
I would let him try it again. He said, Coach, I said, I did everything the way I said. I mean, I set my feet right, blah, blah, blah. I said, I hit it the way I want to. I just missed it, you know. And I said, hey, man, I ain't lost any faith in you. I'd do it again right now and give you a shot. I mean, I think you're around 60-40 that you make those in there, and, you know, you're due for the next one. So
when that kick doesn't, you know, like bounce to the goalpost or is way right. wide, you know, maybe you get a concern, but yeah, he wasn't off much on the long.
You know, and he did a good job on our other field goal mm-hmm. that he made from, I don't know, 35, 40 yards somewhere in there, pounded it right down the middle. And, of course, we got the first down because they had a penalty lining up, you know, over the center there. But, mm-hmm. He pounded it, you know, and PATs were no struggle. We protected and, he made them through there. So it's nice not to have to think about that.
No doubt. have you ever seen in a game a penalty called on each team for the way they were lined up over
the center? No, it went back to back. And you know what? They were both penalties. I mean, they lined up just slightly on the off shade of the head of the center, mm-hmm. and we did too. I couldn't believe it. We know better.
What is it supposed to be? Pad? I mean,
you can't. Nothing anymore. There used to be a shoulder pad.
The center's got to have a clear.
I'm not going to say space, but it needs to be clear that there's nobody over the top and on anything. If you're touching shoulder pads like that, they're going to get you. And most of the time, they come down and move you and try to move you. But mm-hmm. eventually, if you don't move, they're going to back away and throw a flag, and that's what they did twice.
Wow. Well, each team got one, so yep. I guess they both had something to learn.
Thank God ours was 4th and 10. It wouldn't have been automatic first down. So,
Coach, tell us about North Carolina Central. We know these guys are pretty good, and they've been around a while playing at a good level.
Yeah, you know, I've mostly just watched, obviously, the defensive side, and they're good. Their front six is about as good as it get. I would put them against anybody in our conference as far as their front six. So we know we have our hands full up front. We're going to get Ron back, it looks like, so that's good. He had a couple good days of practice. I don't know if we're going to get Billy back at center, but we're going to get some tight ends back. You know, Preston Kilgore looks like he's going to be good to go too. So we're trending in the right direction. We just need to go get a W.
That's right. All right. What are some of the other things? Tell us about some of the good things you took out of this one, because they're a lot more fun to talk about.
I mean, yeah, we did a lot of great things. I mean, we had time possession again. We won that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Handily.
Yeah, Curry brought up the, you know,
seventh in the
nation as far as, you know, time of possession. I was like, I kind of laughed and said, okay, that's good, I guess. We just got to come out with some wins on there. But, you know, we had 23 first downs. You know, we won everywhere except for the scoreboard and the one turnover. You know, we had a lot of opportunities to have interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting ourselves in good situations. I was told by Coach Tyler that we had 7 opportunities to put our hands, 2 hands on it and pick it, and we didn't come up with any of them. So, on the offensive side, we say that's why they play defense. So, you know, again, we brought the jug machines
that's
out this
we
week.
Did.
And we worked on our hands, you know, on both sides of the ball, because we dropped 1 or 2 in there.
Turn
too,
it up so, to like 8 or 9. Yeah, and
pump it in there and work on, you know, getting those turnovers because they matter, you know. Our one turnover mattered. They got 6-7 points off of it. And, you know, if, you know, I know you always point at the last drive, but we ran right in front of a slant for a pick 6 to end the game, and we didn't come up with it. So it's about making the most of the plays and opportunities when they're put in front of you. And, you know, kids are resilient, man. They, you know, we all licked our wounds and our heart was hurting, you know, Sunday and Monday. But, you know, yesterday when we rolled out the football and turned on the lights, we went to work.
You got to have that time of catharsis to get rid of something like that. That's all.
Yeah. That one stuck with me a little bit longer. I still got a little belly, a little stomach ache from it just because of last year what happened too and having to go to overtime and losing in overtime against them. So, yeah, took me a little bit longer to get over this one too.
Well, North Carolina Central will be here Saturday. We kick off at 6 p.m. Remember, it's part of a huge day. You going to catch any volleyball early with us?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Love volleyball. Got one of my favorite sports.
Lion volleyball against UIW starts at 1, but the big game kicks off at 6 p.m. when the Lions and the Eagles of North Carolina Central go head-to-head. Coach? We'll get
to be home.
Yeah, it's good to be home. We get to do our pregame stuff out there with a crowd, not just tucked off behind us.
See some familiar faces.
Yeah, they're always better. All right, let's line up. Folks, we'll be back. Joe Morales and volleyball coming up next. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Some more of Inside Lion Athletics. We're getting around to the end here, but we can't do it without Joe Morales, head coach of the Lion volleyball team. And, man, have y'all had a good couple of days lately.
Yeah.
How about it? Beating Lindenwood, beating Abilene Christian. There are people all over wearing blue and gold say thank you for that.
It was fun. Both of those games were fun. I mean, Lindenwood's a good program. In the same boat that we are, but they were, OVC champs in their conference last year. So won the first set, got stuck on 2 and 3, and then came back 1-4 and 5, and that was a really good win. And we were leaving Iowa in a great spirit, took a set off of Iowa. So that was a really good trip for us. We enjoyed it. And then we'd come back, you know, we get Sunday off, and then back on the court on Monday for ACU. And ironically, same thing. Took the first set, 2 and 3, got stuck in, came back in 4 and 5, and it was a fun match to coach. That's definitely it was up and down. It was a roller coaster, and you know, we made errors, but we stayed positive. We kept as disciplined as we could, and ended up coming victorious. So that was a fun one.
And coach, you had a nice home crowd for that one too.
It was really good. I you know, we had a lot of people here, and the energy was great. The energy was really good. So
well,
really excited about that.
These wins are huge. The victory over Lindenwood, one of our cohorts in the reclassification process.
Right.
That's a big win for Lion U. The first one of the year, and then now you're streaking because you beat ACU next. And Southland Conference play begins this week. Houston Christian on Thursday. UIW is here on Saturday, and those are both home matches.
That was coming into this week, you know, leaving Iowa, knowing that we were going to have 3 matches. It was such a good. It made that win against ACU a little bit more special because we're moving into a little bit of momentum swing here, and being in our home court where we don't, you know, we've been traveling for a while, and so now the kids are here for the entire week. They're excited. They're excited to play. They're ready for a conference to get going, and. You know, I love their energy that they have, and they've had it all along. Even with the tough losses against like Notre Dame and the Colorado States, Washington States, their confidence has been really, really high. So I'm excited. I'm excited to get it going on Thursday, Houston Christian, and then Saturday, UIW.
All right. Have you indulged yourself any time at all to kind of look over how the Southland, the state of the Southland going into conference?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the Southland Conference, I think it is strong, but I think everyone is in the playing ground right now. I don't think that one team that's going to overshadow another team that much. I think it's going to be competitive for sure. But I think, you know, watching the Southland a little bit, even in their preseasons, I think that's on any given night, I think anyone can be, you know, anyone can win. And I think that's a mentality we're going in with. You know, I know they're, you know, you have your longevity of like your Corpus Christi or SFA that have been at that pinnacle.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think right now, I think this year is going to be a sort of free fall. Like everyone's going to be fighting. And I think that's a good thing. I think everyone's like, you know, this is an opportunity for this year to teams to really catch up a little bit. And it's going to be exciting. So our morale is really high. Our energy is really high. And, you know, we got to play the ball that we know how to play. And so we're excited about that. Houston Christian is going to be, you know, it's a good program out there. Well coached, UIW, the same thing. But our kids are ready to rock and roll.
Who had the big strong matches against ACU and Lindenwood? Anybody that's just really got some momentum rolling?
Are you talking about within conference?
I'm talking about within your team.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Like, I think our middles are coming up. I think Gianna, like, if you look at our middles from, you know, just Monday. You know, you had Gianna, our freshman, and you had Nevaeh, who were hitting plus 300, you know, which is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I think Gianna hit 500. Brooke against Lindenwood was an all-tournament selection, hitting close to 400.
Wow.
And so, like, our middles are involved. I think this past game, I mean, you look at Gianna, our two middles getting in there. You got Gracie, who came out with, like, 260. And then you had Zoe, who's a newcomer, JUCO transfer, who came in and hit 316. And so, you know, we're putting up the numbers, and that's what we want to be able to do. I think our right sides are still going to be affordable with our block, MJ and Roper.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, our libero is digging balls. Our libero is digging balls like crazy, Jade Washington. So I think all our pieces are kind of filling in what we need to be doing. And so we just got to be disciplined and keep everyone doing the job in that way. And I think it puts us in a really good position to win ball games.
So when you look at, say, Houston Christian, the team you're getting ready for next, what kind of physical matchups do we have? I mean, have they got a height advantage somewhere?
I think
you got the skill and the speed advantage?
I think it's going to come down to ball control. I think that's the biggest thing, you know, how we play defense, how we pass and serve.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got some good middles. They got a good outside right now. That's doing some good things. Their middles are very athletic. So I think those are the positions that we're going to be really worried about a little bit, or not so much worried as we are just going to be paying attention to them a little bit, especially in the
South. They have your attention.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're athletic. And so those are the pieces I think we're gonna figure out. And then, but I think we'll match up pretty well against them.
Okay, and then what about when UIW is here?
UIW.
Always UIW.
Yeah, always UIW. I think their middles also. I think Kay Thomas is a really good middle right now. She's doing some good things. Malone out there on the right side is doing some good things. And they have a setter, Clarissa, who's really athletic. She sets in the back row, hits in the front row a little bit. So we got to pay attention on them. I think, again, you know, the pass and serve game is going to be crucial for us on those games. We can keep them out of system a little bit. That's definitely going to help us or entice us to do some good things. We know what's ahead of us. We're going to go game by game, day by day. You know, right now we're focusing on Houston Christian for these next two days until, and then once that game comes past, then we move on to the next at UIW. So we're excited. I think it's going to be a fun game. I think we're going to – it could go the distance, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that's where the conference is right now. I don't think – you know, I think that's where the conference is. I think there's a lot of games that could go the distance in 4 to 5 sets. So
all right.
We're looking forward to it.
So this will be the first that leads on to, A, do you get into the conference tournament, and then, B, playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, you know,
that's the new target.
That is, especially when you're hosting, right?
Yeah,
there's a new nuance on that. But
well, I was thinking, I think the playoffs being the NCAA. I mean, the conference tournament is a big enough thing.
Well,
but
you know, I mean, this is a year to
you can do anything you want.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think getting into the conference tournament is our main goal right now, and, and you know, playing our conference game opponents really strong, and making our way, and then hopefully make a ripple into the conference tournament, and then make a splash in that conference tournament is the idea. So I like our chances. I like our chances. I think this team and this program is moving in the right direction, and you know, wins are going to start coming.
All right. Well, fans are going to start coming because they're playing at home. Yes. And that's going to be fun Thursday, but especially Saturday. It's a huge
first
campus first, game day atmosphere.
Yeah, Thursday, first 100 entries.
Yeah.
Get a free T-shirt.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's on our social media page right now. Houston Christian, I think that's a giveaway of the first 100 to walk in the door. Get a
you think they're gonna have a swoosh on them? And
I don't know. I know our kids did a promo for them, so they're on social media right now.
Okay,
look on our Lion page. On
come get some free Lions gear.
Get out here, get be the first 100 to grab a T-shirt, and then come and root on for your Lions.
All right, well, let's do that. 6:30 on Thursday, 1:00 on Saturday. Be here early so you get the clothes.
Yes.
We're going to Lions up, folks. Hey, go thanks Lions. For tuning in to another episode of Inside Lion Athletics. Thanks to our producer, director, and everything else, Avi Mehta. He makes it go. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you at the ball yard on Saturday.